and most of you are familiar with his ministry as his prayer letters come every month, both of his church work and his orphanage work over there in Vietnam. And God has blessed his ministry, blessed him tremendously over there, and we're thrilled to have him back here. It's been about, we figured about 11 years or 12 years since he was last with us, is when we were out on Old 21 Road last time he was here, and we didn't take him on for support at the time. And then a few years later, he sent us a videotape, Vietnam, the Land of the Dragon, about his ministry. And we were so impressed as a church by what God was doing that we took him on several years ago as one of our missionaries. And we're thrilled to have done so and thrilled to have him here this evening. He's going to preach for us, and then also within that, give us some information about the ministry over there in Vietnam. And so, Brother Mike, you come ahead at this time and let her rip.
Well, it's a blessing to be with you all in this cold winter wonderland, but it is a blessing to be here. I'll just give you a real quick rundown. The Lord's been real good to us over in Vietnam, and I'm real thankful. We've been over there about 15 years now working, and every time I start out with the orphanages, I never get to the churches, and we have five churches that we've started over there, and we got trained the pastors in. And we have about 3,700 Christians in those churches. Now, I'm senior pastor of all those churches, but I don't do the daily stuff of the church. You know, they all have pastors. So when they need something, then they come to me and we fix it up and we get it done. If something big comes up, I deal with it. If not, I don't. A man said years ago, I think it was Spurgeon, said it's easier to train 100 men than it is to do the work of 100 men. And I took that to heart. The church there in Indiana, I train both the pastor and the associate pastor. I don't look over their back. I'm gone all the time. They're the pastor and associate pastor. They got to do it. They got a bad problem or something. Somebody gives them a hard time. They're both cops. Our pastor is a sergeant detective with the DNR, and our associate pastor is an Indiana state policeman. So they're packing all the time. Amen. So that's not a good place to start trouble in our church. And the Lord blesses them, and I mean, the church is growing. They're building a new building now and everything, so I thank God for that. Different men have different ministries. Different men, some God calls some men to pastor churches. He calls some men to start churches and start works and go on. And you have to know what God's called you to do. And if you stay too long when you're not supposed to, you're going to ruin it. Amen? But if you leave too quick when you're not supposed to, then you're going to destroy it also. So it's all in the calling. We have 300 orphans in our orphanage now. Somebody gave me $36,000 last year. I already had enough money for 21 houses. And a friend of mine, he had a missions conference, and he had me in. I flew back from Vietnam and went down there, me with Tommy Tillman. Brother Tommy Tillman's over in Thailand with the lepers and up in Mongolia up there. And him and I was in a meeting together, and the pastor raised enough, I think about $40,000 for him, and raised $36,000 for me from down in Texas. And he built another hospital, I think, and built another church in Mongolia. And we built 20 more houses for our orphans and took on a bunch more orphans. Now, the Lord's opened the door for us next year. As soon as I get back, February, I say next year, this is next year. February, as soon as I get back, as soon as I can get out of here. And I don't say that mean. I just can't wait to get out of here and get back here where it's 90-something degrees. But get back over there. The government, the Central Committee from Hanoi, which is like the federal government and the Communist Party, they've heard of us, and we're sort of famous in the country because most of our kids study at the top of the class in school, and we have a program not just to raise the kids, but to give the kids a job after they get up. We send them to trade schools, and they have to learn to be self-supporting. And we're pretty famous, so the government sent down. They want me to go. They got about four other places they want me to go, three. But I chose one to go first as Bintrea, and we're going to start another work over in there. Now, out of those 300 kids we have, 60 of them are saved. Like I say, I could win them all to Jesus Christ tomorrow because I'm their father. They actually call me their dad. I'm their father. They don't move unless they ask my permission. And anytime they want to do anything, they ask me. That's the Oriental custom. And they'd all get down. They'd ask ask Mickey Mouse into their heart if I told them to. But I wanted to be real with them. And so we take our time with them. My builder's an evangelist, and he lays the foundation. We introduce them to a Christian in the area, and then they start taking them to church, and then probably after 6-7 months going to church, they'll get saved. And then in Vietnam, you have to actually go through a course, which takes 6 months, and have to pass a test and pass before the pastor will baptize you. So those kids get very well indoctrinated, and the reason is, you all was raised on Christmas and Easter, and you all heard the name Jesus Christ, probably mostly at the workplace, with everybody using his name in vain, cussing and stuff. You hear that all the time. But in Vietnam, a Vietnamese would never use the name of God in a cuss word. And they didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. They're Buddhists and animists and ancestral worshipers. So it takes a little more time, but I tell you what, once you get a Vietnamese saved, you have got you a Christian. So we're taking our time. Plus, the government knows what I'm doing, and they told me, or the head man told me, he says, we know what you're doing. Just take your time doing it, just so you don't upset society and get them all saved in a week, and then I'm in trouble. He'd be in trouble with the Central Committee if I'd done that. But I took the communists go to church with me. This year we had 10 foreigners come, Americans come over, and at night I took them into church, and the communists, I invited them, the last time I took them to church, and they come to, and they get in there, and in the choir is about 9-10 of my kids up there singing in the choir and quoting verses. They all got saved through the program and everything, and the communists, they sit there and hear the gospel for the first time in their life, and they do it. Now, if you'd ask one of them to go to church, they'd put you in jail. But I've been there 15 years, and they're my personal friends. So when I ask them to go to church, they've watched us for all these years. We pray over our meals, no matter where we're at. We talk about God at night. We go back to our room. We do our work on computers and get the kids all put in the database. We don't run around. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't run around with women. And they watch that for all these years. So when I ask them to go to church, they'll go, because they see that there's something about this Jesus Christ, whom they know nothing about. So it's a blessing. And I want to tell you all, first of all, I want to tell you before I start preaching, I want to thank you for the room you got me. It's a lovely room. I never expect anything when I go anywhere, and you all are very kind, and I appreciate your support over the years, because I'll tell you, you'll get your rewards in heaven for the work in Vietnam. I get it all now. I'll never get nothing in heaven for what I do, because I enjoy it so much and have so much fun with the kids and the churches up there. But you never got to see it, and you're going to get to see a lot of little old Vietnamese kids got saved who come up and hug you and thank you for being faithful. And it's a hard job to be faithful and give to missions and take it out of your budget to help missions, not just Vietnam, all your missionaries. It's hard, but that's the sacrifice. That's a harder sacrifice than being a missionary on the field. All right, I've been torn here. I don't know really which one to preach or what to preach. But since I opened that one first, I guess I'll preach that. Might be what God wants. Open your Bibles up to the book of Psalms, chapter 100. The Lord's been so good to me. I can't really figure out why He's so good to me. And I guess I've sort of figured out that He does it just to show people He can use anything. And I realize that. I got a message God gave me one time over on Get Over Yourself. And God has helped me get over myself. I never did get on myself, because I realize what I am. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. And I sure in the world don't deserve the opportunity to preach, and especially some of you folks. And I know I don't deserve to go to Vietnam. I was in the Vietnam War. I was there in 69 and 70. And the ungodly, wicked things that I'd done in Vietnam, are, it's just a scary thing. I don't even like to think about it. But God let me go back in the area where I'm from and start two churches. And now let me go back to Vietnam and win the kids and the people to Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest privilege I ever had in my life. I think it's a privilege to be able to try to undo some of the wickedness that I've done in my life. And I thank God for it. Psalms 100, we'll read the whole chapter. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now one more place in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians in verse 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It is to give thanks. That, you want to know the will of God? That is the will of God tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I just pray you'll bless the Word of God as I know you will. And I pray, God, I can be some kind of a minister to be used of the Holy Spirit of God. Fill me with the Spirit of God tonight. Wash me in the beautiful cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you can use me to help these people to get through another week out in this wicked old world. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor, and all the thanks. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And this is a hard thing here. I don't know why it is, but we as Americans, we have a hard time with this. And it's just a little simple thing that I'm going to preach on. And it's going to be about be thankful. That's all I'm going to preach about tonight is to be thankful. You know, there are so many rewards given from God if we will just be a thankful people. Thanks is gratitude towards God for some act in history or something He's already done for you. And we need to learn to sit around and think about the things God has already done for us. Thanksgiving is central in Bible worship. It's a central theme in worshiping God. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Thanksgiving is all through the Bible. The mark of the last days, it is a generation of unthankful people. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Unthankful, unholy. That's right there in the middle of that list. You know, I've noticed in my life we miss the little things that God does for us to be thankful for. We're sitting around waiting. People kill me. They got this lottery over in Vietnam now. It's a strange thing. They got the lottery in a third world country, you know. And ain't nobody ever hits that thing. Everybody pockets all the money. But they asked me, they said, "Man, you know, don't you play the lottery?" I said, "Why in the world would I play the lottery?" They say, "To make money." I said, "What would I do with any more money than I already got?" And you know what? I noticed and read something on that. People all over this world sitting around trying to win the lottery. And you read a book about that, everybody that hits the lottery ends up going bankrupt and losing their home and miserable and die a miserable death. I don't want to hit the lottery. If I hit the lottery, I would thank God. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't thank God. Because I tell you what God likes. He likes it when you thank Him about those little things that He does for you day in, day out, hour to hour, minute to minute. He does a lot of little things for us that we will not thank Him for. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the Bible. 11 of those books start with a thanksgiving about different things. We need to start out and thank God for what He's done. You know, there's some basic things that you and I should be thankful for every day. Before we eat, we should thank God for the food that He gives us. He gives us food. I got a guy that works for me. His name's Mr. Duck. His name goes up. Nobody can say it, so everybody comes over and calls him Mr. Duck. They can't say his name. So Mr. Duck, he is so funny. He's the best Christian I know. And we'll go out with those communists. There'll be, I don't know, maybe sometime there's 10 of them around us. And Mr. Duck and I'll be sitting there. We'll be getting ready to eat. He does this every time. He'll jump up and he'll say, "Now, I just want to ask your permission. Would you mind if I pray over this food before we eat?" He never waits for the answer. He'll say, "God, please thank you, God, for this food. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross." He goes into a 3-point outline on how to get born again, man. And then he always uses that as an opportunity to witness to those communists. But he's thankful for what God done for him. One day, man, I throwed the Bible. I wasn't thinking. I just, you know, we do it, you know, we don't think about it. I just throwed my Bible on the floor. He fell down on his knees and he got that Bible and he put it up. He said, "Don't throw the Bible down on the floor like that." I mean, he just loves that Bible, man. He's the best Christian I know. He wouldn't think of taking a bite of food without thanking God for it. I don't care where he's at. I don't care who's there with him. I don't care if the head of the country's there. He's going to pray and thank God for that food. You know, we all should be that way. Before we sleep, we should thank God that we got a bed to lay in to go to sleep. You know, before we play or work, we ought to thank God that we got a job. A lot of people don't even have a job anymore. Things are not this good for the rest of the world. There are those who go to bed hungry every night. You know what a lot of my kids done? A lot of my kids, you know what they have to do? They don't have enough rice, so you know what they get? They get sawdust. And they'll put it in, mix it in with their rice, and they heat it. And sawdust swells up, and then they'll eat that. And then you say, well, why would anybody be that dumb? Because they don't have enough food to eat. They put that sawdust in there. It keeps the hunger pains away, and they can sleep at night without having hunger pains. You ought to hear some of the story. I'll tell you a story. I got house number 13. I know all my kids by 13, by the numbers. I got up from 1 through 111 now. And I remember house number 13. This one little girl, she lived with an old peg-legged uncle. He was a drunk. I mean, he was a terrible drunk. He'd make her get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get down in that old mucky river down there and go down and catch all kinds of old clams and old river shrimp and crabs and everything, and then go sell them in the market so he could get something to drink for that afternoon. And then what he would do, he would beat that little girl. He abused that little girl almost every single day of her life. I tell you, we went down there and we built a house over to her other uncle's house where her other sister was. And I told a head policeman in the province, him and I got together and we devised a plan. We're going to kidnap that little girl. He's the head cop, so it's legal. Amen? And I said, as soon as we get this house done, we're going to go down there and get that little girl. We're going to kidnap her. And we went down there, and this little girl, man, she was so happy every time she saw me. And we went down there and we kidnapped that little girl and took her up the other house. Well, I told that cop, I said, listen, I'm an old outlaw from years ago. And I said, you know, there's not a whole lot worth me going to prison over. But you tell that old peg-leg drunk, if he comes up here says anything to this little girl, I'm going to break that wooden peg leg off and I'm going to beat him to death with it. Well, he come up there to get her, and that cop was there, and he told him, he said, now, Mike Roberts told me to tell you this. He said there ain't much worth going to prison over, but he said he would go to prison over that little girl, and he'll take you out, so it'd be best for you to leave and never come back. That's been 5-6 years ago. He's never showed back up again. I'll tell you what, folks, you don't have to go to bed like that. You kids ought to be thankful you got a good Christian home and a mom and dad, and you got a good mom and dad if they got you in church tonight. You know what I'm talking about? There's little kids out here in Cambridge that are abused and misused and left alone, and they don't have what you've got. You kids ought to be thankful for what you've got. I'll tell you something. We ought to be thankful for our God-given faith. Romans 1:8 says, for I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith has spoken of throughout the whole world. I am so thankful that God gave each and every one of us enough faith to believe the gospel. In Mark 9, there's this story of a man that brings his son to Jesus Christ, and his son is full of an unclean spirit, and he tells Jesus, he says, your apostles can't help him. The Lord said, if you can't believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I like this prayer of this man. In Mark 9:24, he says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and saith with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, what part of me I can't believe? Lord, help me with it. And the Lord took care of it. It's a blessing to have someone to have faith in that'll never let you down. You know that? It's a blessing to get down and pray believing God's going to make things happen. I remember my wife got sick and I had to leave Vietnam, had to get my family back over here. My wife about died on the field and I had to get them back over here before she did. The doctors told me I had to get her out of the country. And I remember it was a sad time for all the orphans. They knew my wife was sick and my kids, you know it. They just love me, and they've never had a father before, and they just hang on me. You wouldn't believe it when you see them. during parties and stuff, the kids, they sneak up and they sneak behind the communist back just to touch me. They want to rub my arm because they never had a father before. And it's scary how they look at me sometimes. But you know, I told that little girl, she come up to me and she grabbed me. She says, "Dad, are you coming back?" And I looked at her and I said, "I will be back, honey." Well, I left and the communist come and taunted her and told her, said, "That he ain't coming back. You ain't nothing but an orphan. You don't have no family. He don't care nothing about you." And I remember when I come back, and I come to that little girl's house, she come running out. And she come running out, and she dove right into my arms. And I was hugging her, and she was kissing me, and I was kissing her. And the kids, Vietnamese kids are not emotional, and they never show affection in public. But this little girl, I couldn't figure out. I said, "Honey, what is wrong with you?" She says, "I told them. I knowed you'd come back because you told me you was coming back." She said, "I trusted you," and she said, "You didn't let me down. I want you to know Jesus Christ told me he's coming back to get me out of this mess. And I tell you what, when he comes back, I'm going to run and jump right in his arm because he told me he's coming back. And I know he's coming back and he's going to get me out of this stinking mess." Amen. I thank God for my God-given faith. I thank God for it. I thank God for his grace. Amen. I thank God for the grace that God gives me every day. I'll tell you something else. I thank God for our good memories. I've got good memories. I got some bad memories way back there, but I don't dwell on them. I try to forget about them. The Bible said in Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Ain't that a blessed thought? You know, you should have some good memories of good things that God has done for you. This you special. The day that you were saved. You remember that? Huh? Man, what a day that was. The day you got some victories over life's controlling sins in your life. I remember one time we was in Vietnam. My family was over there. I never have forgot this preacher. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And my little boy done it. He was about this tall. And one Sunday morning, I was going to preach there in the house. And I saw he had a mean look on his face. And I saw my little girl, she was sort of walking real light. He walked up to me and he said, "Dad, God wants me to preach this morning." I said, "Boy, you know, that thrills a father, man." I thought, hallelujah, God has supernaturally called his kid to preach. He walks up to the pulpit. I never will forget this. My wife and I sitting there looking, man, we were startled. He opened his Bible, the book of Exodus. And he says, "The Bible says, thou shalt not covet." He comes out from behind that pulpit, and my little girl sitting there, and she's shaking. I didn't know what was going on. He said, "Bless God, little girl, I want to tell you something. If you don't start sharing them toys, God's going to curse you." Closed his Bible, prayed, said, "I'm all done, Dad." Oh, wow! I never heard such direct preaching in all my life. It almost killed me and my wife to try to contain, to keep from busting on the floor, but he was serious, man. I'm afraid he'd jump right on my head or something. Those are good memories. You've got things like that your kids have done in the name of Jesus Christ or for God or the day they passed out of track or the day they both got saved. My two kids got saved. I remember that. Those are good memories. We all got bad memories. But I thank God for some good memories I got. I remember over in Vietnam, there's an old woman. I got two little girls, one named Phung Dai and one named Phug. The mother was a prostitute, and she died of AIDS. The little girls had the same mother, but they don't know who their daddies were. They had different daddies. And the old grandma, who was the mother of the mother, she said, all Vietnamese have an altar in their house. They worship ancestors. As soon as an ancestor died, they put their picture on there. And she said one day, she said, they burn incense. They go buy and borrow fruit to get on there and worship to offer an offering to their false gods. There's millions and millions and millions of false gods in Vietnam. You can cut it. There's incense floating everywhere in that place. But she told me this story. She said she walked in her house one day and those two little girls' mother died and she got down on her knees before that altar. And she said, God, I know there's a real God up there. And she said, I know you're real. But she says, God, I need you. I don't want these kids to starve and don't want them to end up like their mother did. And she says, God, if you're real, show me. She said, 2 weeks later, a boat pulled in off the river there right into their house. They live right there on the river. They live in an old dirt floor, old thatched hut. And she said, she tells this, she said, there comes this big, loud American. And he walks in there and says, okay, we're going to knock this house down. We're going to build it. Bring that food in here. Get that food in here. We had 2 or 3 months worth of food. And she said, I got off her and I just didn't build them one house. I doubled the house, built them 2 houses, got the girls back in school. And the builder went in there and witnessed to them and told them I was a Christian. Those kids started going to church. And you know, one day we was going down the river and we picked those girls up. They was in school. We was taking them home. And a little old Fung Dai leaned over to me and she says, Dad, I got saved yesterday. And boy, whoa! And all the communists jump up, scared them to death. If I couldn't shout in Vietnam on the Mekong Delta, I sure wouldn't shout in the church. Amen. I shout and they turn. I said, we're just joking. We're having fun back here. Amen. So they let it go. And boy, I tell you what, it wasn't long after that that grandma got saved. They go 5 kilometers one way on bicycles around the river and through rice paddies to go to church every Sunday. And they stay there all day so that they can be in church all day on Sunday and Sunday night, singing a choir, one of them playing the piano in the church. Man, I tell you, I sat in the church 2 years ago and watched all my orphan kids up there, and the Spirit of God come on me. And the first time, I'm not an excitable type person. I'm sort of refined. And I tell you what, I was sitting there, and Vietnamese would die if I'd done it. But I just got the awfulest urge just to get up and start running around the church shouting. I saw all those little orphan kids up there that had gotten saved through our program, and I thought, man, this is good. This is, man, it don't get no better on this side of heaven than that, man, to see all those kids have gotten saved. What a thing, man. I've got some good, good memories. You know, over the years, half the host of heaven's had to get me out of some of the trouble I've unknowingly got myself into. I step out on a limb and watch God catch me. And it's such a blessing. He always does. You know, some of you could tell story after story how you've taken a chance according to this world with your life before you got saved. You know that? But the majority of my good memories are how God has delivered me and put me on the winning side time and time again. You know what my wife says? And she doesn't say this mean. She says it true. She says, honey, she said, I've watched you make decisions. And she said, I've kept my mouth shut like a good wife. And she says, I knew that was the dumbest decision I've ever seen. There ain't no harebrained in this world would make that decision. And she said, I've watched God twist the whole universe around and make you right. She says, I don't know why God does that. I said, well, it's good to be in the same car with me then, if that's the case. Amen. And I'll tell you, God has done that. I've looked back at some of the decisions I've made, and I think, Lord, only God could make this thing work. It's been God, folks. It's been God. I remember one time me and a communist leader, a high official, got into it down in Vinh Long province. And I was mad. They'd done something to one of my kids. I was fixing to hurt somebody. Now, you know, you can hit me and slap me, wouldn't bother me. You slap my wife, she'd probably shoot you with a gun. You know, that you wouldn't bother me much. You slap me, I'll turn the other cheek and laugh at you. I've been hit so many times in my life, it ain't even funny. You can look at somebody as ugly as me, don't get this way by accident. But I'll tell you what, you mess with one of my kids, I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to hurt you so bad, you ain't ever going to get unhurt again. And this one communist, They had done something to one of my kids, and I showed up at the office. There they all are. And Duk, man, he works for me. He's scared to death. He knows I'm going to say it. I drunk triple espresso before I got there. I chugged them things. Boy, and I stood up there, and I started speaking Vietnamese more clear than any Vietnamese ever spoken in their life. And I was calling him. I was in their face, my finger pointing in their face. And I got done, and Duk just, he said, I know he's going to jail. And he says, you're right. We're sorry. And we apologize. I said, okay, don't let it happen again. You know what I'm talking about? And I was walking out thinking, oh, Lord, what did I do? My big mouth got me in trouble. But God showed up. Those are good. One time I was out in the middle of nowhere. There's 10 communists. And I was all by myself out there, 10 communists. All the cops and everybody, and they had me out in the middle of nowhere. We was eating probably dog meat or cooked rat or something. I don't know what it was. I don't remember that. And then one of them turned over and looked at me and said, aren't you ever afraid? I said, what do you mean? They said, aren't you ever afraid to come out here with us? Don't you know we could kill you and put you in the Mekong Delta? And it's come on me. I know they mistook this, but I said, look in my eyes. And they looked, and I said, there's a reason I'm not afraid of you. I said, there's good reason. Now, they thought I meant that I could whip them. But I told Duke later, I said, I just knew God would give me the power to call fire down out of heaven and scorch every one of them. I really believe God will supernaturally take care of me. I really believe that. I've got good memories like that, where God, through the Holy Ghost, was in me and let me realize that He was bearing witness that I'd done nothing wrong, I was trying to do right, they was trying to intimidate me, and if they mess with me, God was going to get them. They're not afraid of me, they're afraid of God. They're afraid of the God that I serve. Those are good memories. I mean, He's got experiences just like that. God does that stuff for us, folks. Those are things that sit around sometime when you're by yourself and just whew, shout it out. Say, thank you, God. Man, I'd have got my teeth knocked in if it hadn't been for you that night. Amen. It was God. Let me tell you last thing. We ought to be thankful for you ought to be thankful for your good works. Now I know you're saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. No works involved. But the Bible said in Philippians 1, 4 to 5, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints. Thank God we're not saved by good works, but by grace. He saved us by grace through faith, just like I said, but He saved us to do good works. Not to get saved, nor to stay saved, but because we are saved, we do good works. Man, why in the world would you get saved and not do anything? There's plenty of things you can do around this church. The Bible said in Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Isn't it a blessing and something to be thankful for that He allows us to work for Him? Folks, I don't know about you, but if I got what I deserved, I'd be in prison today. Or dead. I deserve to be dead. There's many times I should have died in Vietnam during the war. And I don't know how I got through it when I got home. The Lord showed me this. And this is on the tape, this DVD, if you want to watch it. One time we walked in a house, house number 16. I'll tell you two things. I'm done. I'm going to close. We'll go home and do whatever the preacher wants to do. We went in this house number 16. Here's this little crippled girl. She's never walked a day in her life. She drug herself around dirt floor, thatched, leaf house. Water comes in that house, gets that deep. Dragging herself through all that mud and all that trash. She just filthy. I walked in there and a communist, we was looking around, and the communist said, well, we don't have all the paperwork done. And they have three kids there. I said, I don't need no paperwork. He said, well, yeah, I said, build a stinking house. Who cares? Get the paperwork after. These kids need a house. Kids were hungry. Kids were all sick. Living in that filthy, infested mud hut. I said, get them a house, man. And a communist guy looked at me. He said, okay, that's going against your, you know, what you said. I said, there's always an exception. And I never will forget this little girl. She's down on her knees, or on her side. She sits like this. She was at the party here this last month. And she come. She drug herself. I stand 10 feet away from her. She got down on my feet. And she starts crying. And her hair is down on my feet, and she's crying. And she looks up and she says, thanks, Dad. She said, I never had a dad before. And she said, I just want to thank you for building me a house and bringing me food. I've never had enough to eat a day in my life. And boy, I'm telling you, all at once, the Lord smote my heart. You've never been thankful like that for all the things I've done for you. You give this little girl a little bit of food. You build her a house, and she's crawled on this filth to get at your feet to thank you for something I gave you to give. I've never been thankful like that. We got another little orphanage up in Bowlock, heading up to the Central Highlands. They're mentally challenged kids. And they're all bad. There's mongoloids, and Down syndrome. They just leave them laying in beds. Don't feed them. We got up there. Those kids hadn't eaten nothing for 2 days. There's 30 of them up there, and nobody will help them. And there ain't no organization in the world wants to help them. And people ask me, why are you helping these kids? I said, I don't know. Maybe because nobody else will. We go up there and there's this little mongoloid boy. I never will forget him. He's about that tall. He is so funny. He jumps on our van. He starts throwing that stuff off. I said, whoa, man, what's going on? What do you think? We brought him up about 2 months of fly. And the lady said, they haven't eaten in a couple of days. Said, he's hungry. I never will forget the next time I come up there, we had a load full of food. He didn't jump on the van. He come over and he got a hold of my leg. And a little old mongoloid. He looks up and he said in Vietnamese, hi, Dad. Whew. I got to thinking about that. How is it that little mongoloid boy knows where all the good things come from in his life? Out of all the people around him, he grabbed me and thanked me. God just smoked me. Why is it we thank everybody and everything else, but we never get on our face and thank God? The Lord beat me to death with that. He just beat me to death with that. I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian is learn to be thankful. Lift bow. You know, I don't know what you do usually. I don't know if you have an altar call or what. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we need to come to an altar. I'm not talking about all the time. But sometimes, I'll tell you this. Just as soon as you say, I don't have to go to an altar to get right, you need to go to an altar and get right. Because your pride says, I don't know, maybe some of you are lost in here. You don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I don't know. I don't know what to do. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you need to humble yourself. Understand that you're a sinner on your way to hell. Repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Some of the rest of you, you've been saved. You need to find your way to an altar and just thank Him. Just thank Him. Just tell you, thank you, Lord. Man, I got some good memories. Thank you for my faith. Thank you for my grace. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
just thank you for those good memories I got. And thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for me through my life. I think you need to find your way to an altar.
Let's stand together this evening. Take your songbooks, if you would. Page number 3 in the songbook. We're going to sing a song of invitation. I encourage you to come. If God's dealt with your heart or spoken to your heart, you come while we sing page number 3. Number 1, one more time. Has brought all